going on? What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Vunganyi right here in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We love to have you on board. This is Upfront on The Voice of America. Hot, hot.
Upfront is a show that explores issues
that affect your daily lives. Don't move. Don't move that dial. Get your snacks. Get your cup of tea or your cup of coffee. Put your feet up. This is Upfront. Cheers, cheers. Clink, clink. We engage you, the listener, and interact on a different topic each week. We've got loads of good tunes, lovely music, and lots of analysis to keep you going.
And interviews from experts or you young people telling us what you think about our daily topic.
That's always the best part of the show, Jackson, to hear what the listeners have to say. There's always lots of juicy comments and lots of different perspectives. Absolutely,
so stay tuned. On this show, we've talked about the concept of culture, what it means, and how important it is that each group of people preserves its culture and traditions. Some people see culture as a body of knowledge and practices that for generations have been designed to advance the success of a group of people. So when we talk cultural preservation, we mean things like traditions, family values, social norms, standards, and of course language. But today we're not talking about cultural preservations. That is a topic we've discussed before, and most likely we'll talk about soon. Today we talk about cultural relativism. Put bluntly, do you feel your culture is better than others? Do you ever judge other people's cultures and feel they need to change or to be adjusted or transformed? More still, do you look at another culture and feel like yours is not the best and therefore you need to adapt that other culture? Let's talk. This is Upfront on The Voice of America.
Somebody may look into my culture as if not fitting in his. That's where we can talk of the other set of where the negative parts that somebody's cultures may not be good. And let somebody not take any person's culture that is bad, but it depends from one's willing. And you feel that it is comfortable for him.
My name is Mukwaya Kenneth Nicholas. Culture is the old, even the grand believe in culture because that was our grandfather's way of living.
We have left, the bad things have gone. Let's begin a new culture. Thank you.
My name is Isaac Vuni. Culture is a definition of individuals' way how they live. And this is exactly me as an African. This is what we have adopted from our ancestor up to now. And I will urge every Sudanese should be proud of their culture, and in fact the elders and the youth should write down their culture so that people know what is their culture. If we respect our culture, we are not going to quarrel each other. Instead, we will love each other. But I respect you, you respect my culture, so we respect each other.
Chalet, you did listen to Jackson Vunganyi for Upfront with the For Voice of America.
Hey.
My name is Mukwaya Kenneth Nicholas. I can say culture is also another way of life, another way of living. I love dressing like this is my way of life. It's culture. Yeah. There's a bad culture and there's a good culture. Let me give you an example of Bagisu. They circumcise people. It's a culture that is harsh, you understand? Because in town, Kampala, those people can come and they force you to be circumcised. Should we regard that as a good culture? No, that is a bad culture. There's a good culture. Let me talk about music, where you just love the music. We go with how have our grandparents danced. There's some things that we have to forget that our grandfathers did, and we are not supposed to go by that. Like other families these days, other parents still choose men for their young girls. That culture was old school. We should leave that behind and go with the way the world is moving. Yeah, every day the world grows fast and everything changes.
I'm Santos. Obviously, there's a good culture and then a bad culture. Good culture, you find that the way the kids were brought up, they were taught to do good things. So you find that the bad culture, it is coming from a bad introduction of the kids, whereby you find that you are introduced to your neighbor to fight, not to love your neighbor. Actually, very many cultures, they don't believe on money, but they believe on animals, those traditional things. Simple. In South Sudan, actually, I would say people should believe on the current situation, not fighting each other, not fighting each other.
Welcome all of you to Upfront on the Voice of America. If you're just tuning in, please stay with us as we discuss another interesting topic on the show. We're talking cultural relativism today. This concept basically implies that no culture is superior to another when comparing systems of morality, law, ethics, politics, etc. Are cultural views all equally valid? Well, of course, some will beg to differ and advance the argument that their culture is better than yours. So there's a lot to get into in today's discussion. Stay with us.
Nadia, culture relativists say that no culture is better than the other, and matter of fact that they are all equal. They argue that all religious, ethical, and political beliefs are relative to the individual within a cultural identity or a society.
Amaka Okechukwu just moved back to Nigeria as a young professional, having lived in the United States for over a decade. And we talked about some of the cultural differences between these two societies that she has encountered.
Mostly, I think there are certain cultural aspects in terms to respect. Like, so I'm used to calling people by their first name. And when I went back, I'm back now. And I remember I was sending texts saying, dear Mr. Olu or something like that, and people will be like looking at me like crazy, like, what are you doing? That's so disrespectful.
It's disrespectful to call them Mr. Olu. You're supposed to call them the full name.
Exactly, Mr. and their last name, and that's even very, very polite. That's not that polite. What you should say is dear sir. It's like dear madam. Or we say ma or sir here, really.
But texting seems to me a very informal way of communication that you should be accepted some of these new ways of expression. Dear Mr. Oldebanje.
Dear uncle.
Right, dear uncle. I'm here.
Everybody is an uncle or my auntie.
Yeah, exactly. Dear uncle, I have a problem that I want to discuss with you.
I guess. But it's still not appreciated.
Mm. So what are some of the things that you picked up here in the U.S., having lived here for so many years, and, you know, you go back and you realize that things are being done differently over there?
I think for me, the biggest shocker so far has been, and it's kind of like a sad thing, so I don't want to, a part of me doesn't want to say, but like, I think understanding due process. So I find that whenever, like, for example, I think in the U.S., things are so systematic, which can be a good or a bad thing, you know, depending. But like, everything works in a system. It's very tight. It's very fixed. You can't get out of it. And back here, it's completely opposite. So, like, I feel like there's no structure to most things. You know, you can get into a taxi and
just drive anywhere. And you ask to be driven anywhere and they will take you.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, there's no set structure. And so I find myself getting into this mini arguments with, like, taxi drivers and things like that over things like, you know, how things should be done. So yesterday I was in a taxi trying to get somewhere. The taxi driver decided halfway through that he couldn't find the place, so he stopped me and said I should leave the car, that I should pay him. And I was like, there's no way I can pay someone when they haven't
actually threw you out of the taxi, but you wanted you to pay for the
crazy?
Ride. Wow. So these are very fluid cultural values, so to say, right?
Very fluid, I think.
It works when it works, and when it doesn't work, then they'll change it. In the moment.
Exactly.
The question is then, you know, we've been told that you cannot judge other people's cultures. In that case, can you judge them?
I think absolutely you can judge cultures. I don't think culture is, you know, some people look at culture as this, like it's sacred. And to some extent, culture is sacred. But I think culture is meant to be fluid. Culture really is just a way of life, you know, way of life of the people. And so the way of life changes, and it should change, and it should evolve. So I think if we don't criticize and, you know, push our culture to the limit, so you have to test the culture and see what's working, what's not working. You have to criticize the culture. You have to see what's working, what's not. And that's the only way progress can, you know, progress can come. So I'm definitely, you know, I think definitely culture should be, culture is not, you can judge someone else's culture, I think, absolutely. Because, you know, I think if you look back in the past, there's been certain things that, you know, there's certain more serious elements. So, for example, if you look back in the past when slavery was okay,
right,
culturally, that doesn't make it
morally
okay.
Or even up till recently, female genital mutilation, that's a practice that has been deemed harmful by the UN, International Human Rights Conventions, frown upon it.
Absolutely. And you can't separate the moral discussion sometimes from the gender, from the cultural discussion. So I think if you see a culture that is morally not right, and I think FGM is one of them, it has to be questioned. That said, you see, I think culture plays a role in what becomes morally right and wrong. Mm-hmm. And I think we should be careful about that, because I still stand by my claim that I think male circumcision should be reevaluated.
I think it's just culturally normal, and everybody accepts it.
I don't think we should.
You're not going to have very many followers on that one when you try to equate female genital mutilation, okay, with male circumcision. Now, let me ask you this: you know, you've just moved back home, right?
Yes.
After many years in the U.S., I'm quite sure there's so many things that are being done differently. For example, the way people talk to you, the way people associate with you in the office.
Yeah, they're like, you think like you're not thinking like an African. Or you hear things like that, like we have this African way of thinking that nobody else has. But I think, like, you know, you definitely hear that. Sometimes I hear comments like, you know, you just came back from abroad, so what would you know? So I think there's that undertone definitely in conversations. That said, I think, you know, in Nigeria, especially in a place like Abuja, the tide is sort of changing in the opposite way. Like, it benefits you a bit more. So I feel like, you know, particularly in the professional setting, people sort of value that diversity. The fact that you have, you know, they respect you more if you have some Nigerian knowledge, like local content, and you can sort of merge that with some, you know, foreign expertise and just, you know, working with foreign organizations and knowing how systems work abroad. They definitely value that. So I think it can be a double-edged, you know, sword to some extent. I think professionally, it's mostly positive. I think when it comes to sort of like more home settings, then it starts to look like, you know, where did this one come from, you know? So.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So Nadia, let me bring you here, you know, on the conversation. Most people view, when we talk about cultural relativism, they view this in the lens of West versus East. That is, Western culture being better than the rest of the other cultures in the world.
Absolutely, Jackson, and I'm actually a proponent of that. The reality is that things change. If we look at the age-old example of people living in a rural setting and then moving to an urban setting, whether it's for jobs or because universities are there or the opportunities are better, you have this urban migration of people from rural areas. Lots of the elders would argue that with that come so many cultural changes, because maybe young people start to speak differently, they speak less of their home language or their indigenous language. They start to speak English more and they start to speak it with a different accent. Cultural and traditional norms tend to change. There's less of an observance by the young person, perhaps, of their traditional practices, because they're now in a more urban setting. So that's the one example. How much of your traditional upbringing do you then hold close to you, and how much do you actually allow your new surrounding to influence your behavior or how you will be?
Depends with the people that, you know, everyone looks at other people's culture as bad. The custodians of that culture, they look at whatever they do as perfect. For example, I'll tell you, in the southern part of Malawi, we have districts. You know, they've got various types of culture. You find everything there is connected to sex. And the human rights organizations have tried to abolish those cultures, but there's still resistance. They just either changed the form on the way they were doing it. But we perceive those cultures as bad. But they themselves, they look at those cultures as just natural as they are. It's life for them. It's life for them. But for us, hey, it's...
A bad culture is the one that... When people are practicing, at the end of the day, there is a consequence. For instance, here, there is kroafisi. Kroafisi is something like where a man in a house has died, and another one, who happens to be his brother, takes over the wife and becomes his own wife. That is a bad culture in itself, because if the woman inside there had HIV positive, it means the man coming in there as well will be infected as well.
In case you've just joined us, welcome to it, and thank you for being with us today. Like we do each Wednesday, you know how we do. This is Upfront. I'm Nadia Sami. We're talking cultural relativism today. And similarly, also, if we look at many years ago, even not even that many years ago, but Africa, being what it is a very patriarchal society. And in the years going forward, we've seen lots of changes with regard to women in the workplace, with regard to the role that women play in the household, with regards to women as breadwinners, etc., etc. And those are obviously essential changes that had to take place. And so there's definitely an argument for changing or revising cultural practices as time goes by and as the situation changes. But there's also an argument for holding close to your heart some of your cultural beliefs that you've grown up with, because indeed those beliefs will shape who you are, and that's very important for you as an individual. Africa, unite.
we're moving right out of Babylon, and we're going to our father's land. Yeah.
I look at the tendency of saying yes, Bwana, or yes, boss, by the juniors as a bad culture to me. Even if we look at the way the government is running this country, look at the cabinet ministers, look at the member of parliament, those people, they know that they are there. They are in the August House because of the people in their home villages, because they are the ones whom they are representing. But then when it comes to a party, they make sure that they do what their leaders say or what their leaders want. When they go to the parliament, they forget the people who elected them to that position. But what they do is to say yes to the president, yes to the leader of their party, just to serve themselves, to fill their stomachs. That's what they do. So I consider that as a very, very bad culture.
Somebody may look into my culture as if not fitting in his. That's where we can talk of the other side of where the negative parts that somebody's cultures may not be good. Like, for example, I can relate to all our communities here in South Sudan. I would like to say is that there's no bad culture and a good culture. Things equal, depending of the way how you perceive in your locality.
About cultural preservation, Jackson, but many have come to question if culture, like every other aspect of our lives, are bound to change or needs to be changed to reflect the times. But who is the custodian of our culture and therefore has the responsibility of allowing or creating that change, relaxing those rules? Then there's the whole debate that many people who want to see changes in our culture are just talking about wholesale embrace of Western culture, and that's not the point. So the type of change we're talking about also matters. Is the change gradual over a period of time, or something that happens right away?
Right, some say that we should drop our cultures altogether and embrace Western culture because it's great, you know, enlightened, and it's modern. Others say no to Western culture because it's harmful and should not be allowed to influence our culture. Alsara is a Sudanese artist based in New York City. She's traveled widely around the world and interacted with people from different societies, so she has been privy to their cultures. I caught up with her in between her studio time. She's working on her new album in New York City.
Not in like, oh my God, this culture is so much better than mine, I'm going to drop my culture completely and take this on. But I definitely think of myself as having, like, I take bits and pieces of a lot of different cultures that I encounter, especially things that I really admire in those cultures that I don't, that I find enhance my identity. So I don't think of it as my culture is less than that, so I'm taking that. It's more like I think this would enhance my cultural identity more if I took it in.
Okay, so you're walking fusion of cultures. That's what you want.
Absolutely. Okay. I feel that way.
Are some cultures more superior to others?
No, I wouldn't say anything is more superior than anything. In general, all around, I don't find that. I feel like with culture, it's really different what a society chooses to focus on, to and highlight in their society. So from one society to another, culture is different because everyone has their own thing that they like to develop more. Like visually, for example, Sudanese people especially in Khartoum, we're not a visually oriented people. We are a scent oriented people. Sense of smell is, as far as a general society, is much more developed than a lot of other places.
Your life is guided by what you smell.
For example, like when you walk into someone's home, you know, here in America, someone gives you a tour of their house and you admire the way it looks. Yeah.
Yeah.
In Sudan, nobody will give you a tour of their house, first of all, because you're not welcome in every part of the house.
Is that illegal? It's culture, not you can't do that for cultural reasons. You cannot give people tours of your house.
You just don't. Not that you can't. You can, of course. It's your house.
You just don't do it.
You just don't do it. So as it's just like, what, you don't have, like, a guest doesn't have any business being in any other part of the house besides the guest part of the house.
Okay, only realtors can do that.
Yeah, only relatives, family members.
I said realtors.
Realtors. Actually, not most people don't show their house to a realtor until they leave.
Really?
Yeah, they'll move the family out first, and then you can take a look around.
Okay. Anyhow, so you're saying nobody does that, but...
Yeah, but like my point is like in America, someone will come, you'll look at the stuff, and you'll admire the visual elements of the house. In Sudan, you walk into a house, you smell the bukhur, which is like which is incense, and everyone's incense smells different than the other people because you make your own scent, kind of. You bring in your own mixes of perfumes to the woman who makes it, and she makes something that's kind of unique to you. First of all, there'll be no art on the wall whatsoever.
Do we have a right to judge them and say they shouldn't do that?
We don't have a right to judge them. We have a right to judge for ourselves. I mean, this is why I always object to being like, no, this is better than that. Like, you could say what's better for you, but that doesn't negate the legitimacy of something. I mean, if in a society they were carrying out cultural, you know, human sacrifices, obviously there was a big chunk of that population that agreed with them. To me, I'm like, as long as you're not coming into my house to take my kid to sacrifice him for your country,
but
on your own.
If you're part of that culture, ultimately your son is also on the line.
Right, but then, I mean, like, if you're a part of that culture, but like, what country now? I mean, obviously that particular society itself, when back then they had human sacrifices, the entire society changed. But the society chose to have that change.
That was Alsara Abnami El Gadi, Sudanese artist based out of New York. So we all love our cultures, right? And we love our traditions strongly. We want to keep it. But the question is, should we work towards cultural empowerment or merely preserve it the way it is and not change anything about it? And is that in essence empowering the culture by leaving it the way it is?
That question depends very much on the individual, Jackson. It depends what space you're at in your life. I mean, if you're a young adult and you've just had your first child or you're raising young kids, you might very well feel that there are essential parts of your culture that you grew up with that you want to have instilled in your children. Similarly, some of those very same cultural norms, it might be something you want to get your kids away from as they go through their lives. It's something that's very personal. I think we can't make a blanket statement on it.
Thank you very much, Nadia. And on that note, I want to thank all our listeners and all our contributors to the show today. We'll catch you again next week right here on The Voice of America. You can follow me on Twitter. My handle is @UpfrontAfrica. And remember, you can always send us an email here on the show. It's upfront@voanews.com. Until next time, my name is Jackson Bunganyi. Goodbye.
Looking for something? Headline news? Interviews? Analysis? We've got it all on voaafrica.com.
voaafrica.com.